Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to MCU TV. Today is April 2nd. There will be no practical jokes on this because we are past April 1st. And we are talking about Moon Knight. And I know at least one person here is super excited about Moon Knight. Tim, who would that be?
It might be me. If this is video, people would just see the giant smile on my face that I've had ever since Wednesday morning. I am just absolutely freaking stoked about this show. I love this show. I love the character. I'm really, really super duper happy.
All right. So we're going to get to that in a minute. First, the network stuff. A reminder, we are part of the Random Chatter Network, and you can go to randomchatter.com to find all things network related. So we're going to change how we do the show up, at least for this initial one, a little bit. And we're going to start this episode, and we'll see how the other ones go. And I'm also preparing for Ms. Marvel and Shiva. So we're going to give Tim his fanboy minute to just gush all over the show, get all of it out of his system, and then we can jump into it. So Tim, as opposed to your initial reaction, here's your fanboy minute.
All right. I will point out, Sheba actually just jumped in.
Hey,
she did jump in.
We do have Sheba with us, yeah.
Yeah, I started the first day of fasting, and apparently I just slept through all of my alarms. So good job, me. At least it wasn't school, I guess.
We just started, so you're right on time.
Perfect
right
timing.
You know, I mean, truly, I don't know what else to say other than I'm just really incredibly happy and satisfied with what they're doing with the show. I mean, a lot of the character stuff and storyline and all that is very different from what has ever been in the comics for Moon Knight, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm not the kind of person who like, oh wow, things have to align with the comics. I'm good with totally new stories. I'm good with, you know, changing characters around, which they've done quite a bit with Stephen Grant. As we talked about from the trailers, like there's much more of a supernatural aspect to Moon Knight that, you know, he's not putting his superhero pants on one leg at a time. They just kind of like form around him. So yeah, really cool stuff. And I'm really looking forward to where this is going to go. And ultimately, which, you know, probably isn't going to be in the series, but how Moon Knight is going to fit into the MCU.
And under a minute. Good job, Tim.
There it is.
All right, Shiva, your initial reactions.
I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was interesting the way that there's kind of that intrigue that you know that he's going to be Moon Knight. You know that, you know, Steven and Mark are Moon Knight, but you just don't know how he got into that predicament. So I enjoy that. Being confused along with Steven, like, what's going on? How did this happen? How is he becoming a different person? Like, what's going on? So I enjoy kind of learning about what's happening, kind of as Steven is learning what's going on. And I thought Oscar Isaac did an amazing job, and Ethan Hawke did a fantastic job as well.
So I have to say, first watching it, I thought it was okay. I was trying to, and I'm watching Tim's face just melt a little bit.
And honestly, I'm not surprised.
I saved my feedback. Tim, did I text you anything about watching the show?
No, nothing at all.
No, nothing at all. I saved it for this and Tim's reaction. And judging it not as a Marvel show, but just as a TV show. And part of that was because, I mean, I think I missed the character profile on Moon Knight, so I really know nothing about Moon Knight minus he's a kind of Marvel version of Batman, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good show. That then being said, as I went in to do the research for developing the show notes, I grew to like the show more because of the amount of details and history and other things kind of tied into all of that. And it made me really excited to see where the show's going with that. I will say, I polled other people who know nothing about Moon Knight and who I know watch the show. And I was like, hey, you know, what'd you think? You know, just getting some initial reaction, you know, for the podcast. Every single one of them loved it. And I was like, oh, so maybe I'm being hypercritical because I want to be the contrarian. Who knows? But I will say, doing the research into the show for this made me like it a lot more.
That's good. That's I'm glad to hear that, and I do hope the show grows on you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I do think it will. I mean, it's a Marvel show. I'm gonna like it regardless. But you know, I think there's aspects of it. I was like, oh, it's, you know, their version of Batman. I want it to be like, you know, Batman. Or you know, there are other. I think I was trying to make it into something it's not, and I was not going in with an open head of to what it could be.
Gotcha.
And as we go through kind of the notes for this, like, you'll see some of the aspects as I pulled through some of the notes of why I'd seen the depth of what's really there, which, why am I surprised Marvel put a lot of depth and research into all of their characters and what they're doing. They do every goddamn time.
Yeah. I think with this, the great thing is that... Yeah, well, I think, you know, having some knowledge of the character from the comics can add, a little extra perspective, a little extra information. Mm-hmm. They have changed so much about the character and the storylines for this show that really, I mean, you don't need to know this stuff from the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons to be made, but really, like, this can be a wholly original thing that... you know, and keep in mind, we mentioned this on Guardians last week, that this is the first character to have his own series that we have never seen this character before in the MCU.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. And like you said, like, there's a lot of characters that are going to be, that have been changed in the past. And, you know, Moon Knight's changing as well, like you said, and Miss Marvel's changing, but I think as long as the essence of the character and what they stand for and things are there, yeah. I think that's fine. Yeah. And like, that's what it's been like for all the other characters in the past as well. As long as the main essence is there, you know, then we're good. Which, again, I don't know a lot about Moon Knight. I know one of my good friends. She hasn't seen all Marvel things, and she watched Moon Knight and was like, I love it. It's fantastic. She's like, I didn't know what to expect. So, you know.
So let's jump in. And as opposed to kind of doing a recap of the episode, wanted to talk, because there's a lot of new characters. And as Tim, as you pointed out, as you as well, Sheba, you know, this is the first time we're meeting, you know, these characters. And wanted, you know, and that was part of going through and touching to some of these different characters and some of what we see, you know, jump into the speculation for it. So as opposed to starting with our hero, let's start with Arthur. Really cool opening scene with him. And we don't know a lot about him. In the comics, he is a doctor. Actually, he was a Nazi doctor experimenting in Auschwitz. They've obviously changed that, I think, probably for the better. Mm-hmm. But he is a scientific expert in pain theory. And so the idea of him putting glass in his shoes can make sense with that, because his whole background was how to get the brain to ignore physical pain. Also could be, and we see with it, because he is a religious zealot for Amit, that it could also be a nod to religious penance. And I love this connection that I found. For those of you that may not be familiar with some of what that is, one of the most famous examples is Opus Dei, a faction of Catholicism, which was portrayed in the Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. More importantly, mm-hmm. portrayed in the Da Vinci Code by a monk named Silas, who was played by Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
I did not remember Paul Bettany played that role.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, that's a nice kind of neat nod tying back to the MCU. But in that movie, he flogs himself mm-hmm. as a sign of commitment to this faction of Catholicism, mm-hmm. As well as a, kind of sense of, atoning for his sins and that he is unworthy. So could be a few things, with that, but a kind of that opening sequence really caught me off guard. I was like, I don't know what's going mm-hmm. on here.
Yeah,
it was pretty hardcore. First of all, I think that this is a great it's a great start to this show and the mm-hmm. different tone that this show has compared mm-hmm. to the other Disney Plus things. This thing is we see a lot of psychological thriller in this. We see just a lot more darker drama. And I think that, this opening scene just kind of underscored that. And it's a cringy scene to watch. I mean, mm-hmm. when my wife got to watch it with me, which I think was the third time I had watched the episode, like that scene happened. She's like, do I really have to watch this? I'm like, no, really. It's good. Like, I know this is like, painful to watch because that's kind of the intent, but stick with it. And she was happy that she did. So,
and the interesting thing, I sent it to Tim because I wasn't sure if you had seen it yet. I wasn't sure when you had seen it, John, like if you had seen it last night or this morning. But apparently that whole glass thing was Ethan Hawke's idea, and he had suggested it to the head of the people of Marvel and was like, hey, kind of while they were talking about Arthur Harrow and his background, they kind of threw it to him like, what kind of thing do you see for this character? Like, how do you see him as? And he kind of just went through and explained, like, he thought of him, like you said, for the Opus Dei, he figured that he'd become so quote unquote religious that every small sin that he did mm-hmm. was kind of like an everyday thing, and he just didn't wanted to be somebody that was not sinning at all. So that was his extra way of kind of going through and making himself repent for those quote unquote sins. Mm-hmm. So he thought, he's like, hey, this would be kind of interesting. And he suggested this, and people in Marvel were like, cool, we'll give it a shot. We'll mm-hmm. like, we'll shoot it and we'll make it the opening and, we'll go for it. And I think it kind of helped Ethan Hawke even kind of realize how serious the people at Marvel are with their shows and going in depth with their characters. And I thought it was kind of cool. Like, this is somebody that's coming into the MCU for the first time, doesn't really know a lot of like how it is or how in depth they are. And I think that kind of, and we know Ethan Hawke is a really well-known actor. He's won an Oscar. He's really kind of very into his characters. So to have input and then somebody listen to your input and include it, is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the character of Arthur Harrow, it's interesting. You mentioned, John, his comics origins, which there really isn't much. He was a throwaway character many years ago in a Moon Knight comic. I think he only appeared in one issue. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
They're really, I think they're using more of simply the character's name and maybe a couple mm-hmm. of nuanced things about him, but again, completely changing the character.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about Steven with a V and his BFF Mark. I will say my one kind of complaint on their portrayal, and I get it to a degree, but there's part of me that it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way of them calling, and I'm guessing the voice we're hearing in his head is Khonshu. And sometimes we hear Mark, but you know, the idiot's in charge, and I want to say, for lack of a better term, the bullying of Steven. I don't know. There's something about it that I get in the context and what they're doing, but there's something that rubbed me a little bit the wrong way with that.
You know, that's understandable. I thought it was funny. I think that was Conchu every time, saying those things, and they weren't really clear about that in this episode, which I actually kind of liked. And you know, even though they did give the voice actor credit, you know, at the end of the episode for voicing Conchu, I think it's going to become more apparent in the next episode that, oh yeah, that voice that he's hearing is actually Conchu, this Egyptian god, because we really haven't been introduced to Conchu at all. You know, we just kind of know Conchu is this scary thing that occasionally there's some imagery of. You know, I mean, there, to one extent, yeah, I mean, it was mean, but also consider that clearly Conchu and Mark have a thing. Steven is not part of that thing. Steven, at least as far as we know, does not have the knowledge, skills, or abilities to be part of that thing. Although I think that that's going to change for us as the series goes on, that Steven is going to become a linchpin for this. And, you know, they're in situations where, you know, I say they, because of all the different personalities within this one body, are trying to survive. And Steven is the one who is absolutely not helping them to survive. So, I mean, literally they're getting shot at. They're trying to get, you know, run off the road, that kind of stuff. And Steven has no freaking clue, no clue at all. You know, so like, and I love when, in the cupcake truck, when Conchu says, like, Conchu is yelling at Mark that, like, if you don't fix this, I will kill you both.
Honestly, that whole chase scene was so entertaining. The cupcake falling off the van, that was, you know, that made me crack up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a very serious moment. But I agree with you, Tim, that it was, yeah, it was, like, you know, he was essentially being bullied by a voice, not a voice, but, well, yeah, a voice. And another person in his conscious. But I mean, as we know, people that have multiple personalities, every character is different and they all act in a different way. So for me, I understood. I didn't take it as like it's funny because they're calling him an idiot. I was like, poor Steven, he doesn't know what's going on. And like, we don't know what's going on. Like, why won't they just tell it? Like, but it wasn't in a bad way. It was more just like this poor man is confused. And like Tim said, they're just trying to figure it out. Like the other voices and Mark are trying to just be like, okay, we don't have time to explain right now. We just need to survive. We're in survival mode. Stopping to explain is going to take twice as long. So just 1 minute and we'll figure it out later when there's time and we're out of danger. So, and I think in that way, yes, he was, you know, being mean to poor Steven, but at the same time, they're like, we just don't have time right now.
I do get all that. You know, in true dissociative identity disorder, multiple personality, you know, there's trauma involved, and that's generally the different identities are a result of trauma. This is a little bit different, because to a degree they are talking among themselves, which I don't know if is common. They also have a, you know, god influencing them. Like I said, I get it. I get that there were some comedic elements, but you know, like I said, I have a visceral to any form of bullying, so
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Which is totally understandable in this. And yeah, you know, and I think it's part of the evolution of this that I think eventually they're going to have, I don't know what the proper phrasing is for it, a you know, shared consciousness, a shared awareness, whatever.
I agree.
And there will be a place for Steven in this, because also the character of Steven, you know, in 10 seconds compared to the comics where Steven is a Bruce Wayne type. He is the rich socialite who basically, you know, funds the existence of Moon Knight for all of his equipment and that kind of thing. Where in this, obviously, very, very different. Will Steven eventually get there in the MCU? Don't know. Is there a need for that role? Maybe. But also maybe not, considering that he clearly doesn't have to go to the store to buy his tights. So, does anyone need to fund it? I don't know.
I mean, in the greater scheme of the MCU, it might be, because we lost a billionaire a while back. So to fund other MCU things, maybe that might, because there's a void for some, like the bank, essentially. So maybe.
And Tim, I do agree. I think they will come to some level of where both identities have roles. And we'll probably see some growth in Steven. That's also very MCU like to see that. And we didn't see much of the most we saw of Mark was in the bathroom when he was on the other side of the mirror. And in that, he was very calming, very like, hey dude, she was kind of what you said, this is what's going on, and I need you to give me control or we die. And in that sense, it was, you know, was the like, hey, I get that this is a mind trip, but, you know, just relax for a second and let me take over. And I think we'll see more of those conversations, probably even in the next episode, as we see, you know, now that Steven kind of, to a degree, has acknowledged this other person exists.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the next episode is going to start off with, like, you know, I don't know, maybe back in Steven's apartment or whatever, but like having a conversation, a three-way conversation with Mark and Khonshu of, okay, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? You know, and like, I mean, and there's all little funny nuances, because they did an amazing job, like every Marvel property does, of balancing like that grounded seriousness with some cool action, and then throwing in comedy that like you didn't expect, and these little twists of like like the goldfish. It's so funny. So like the goldfish storyline with Steven was funny, but then when you consider what we didn't see, the things that happened with Mark, that Mark took the goldfish to the goldfish, to the fish store, and said, I want a new goldfish. Like that conversation happened and we never saw that conversation. And that's just funny when you consider that, okay, Mark is a mercenary. He is this Moon Knight thing. He's in the middle of whatever this, you know, crazy thing is trying to combat. We don't even know. But he takes half an hour out of his day to take the goldfish to the store and, you know, get a new goldfish.
I felt really bad for the goldfish. I was like, the poor goldfish, where did it go? I'm like, it's not its fault that it has a little fin. It's like a Nemo. And I was like, I felt a little sad, because Steven was like, I have a normal goldfish. And I felt like he kind of, and this is a really small tangent, but I feel like Steven related, or, you know, felt a little bit, you know, just a kinship to this fish that had a little bit of a problem, and then he was gone, and like no one considered poor Steven's feelings.
It's true.
So that made me a little sad. I was with Steven.
John, I am very interested in what you have set up here for the next segment of this show, to talk about the Egyptian gods, because I have not looked into this stuff. I mean, obviously I'm familiar with Khonshu from the comic, but they've introduced some other things into here, and I'm really interested, and I want to know what you dug up. And I suspect that this is the part where you said, hey, maybe this Moon Knight thing is cool, because I know you like this stuff.
And Tim got his fanboy minute. I get my history archaeology. So We got introduced to a few Egyptian gods. Obviously, Amit is actually probably one of the first that we really see. And she goes by several names. Devourer of the Dead, Great of Death, Eater of Hearts. Which is interesting when you go back to the scene with Steven and the little girl in the museum. Mm. And he talks about all the organs being removed. And he says, you needed your heart to be judged in the underworld, and only the worthiest would be allowed to pass through the fields of reeds. Which is then also interesting when she says, well, how did you feel basically to be judged unworthy? And he's like, I'm yeah, alive. I didn't.
Like, yeah, like, where did that comment come from? Like, what yeah, the like, crap?
Like, little girl, who are you? What are you not telling us?
Yeah.
Which interesting because... Again, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark Spector died and Khonshu brings him back as an avatar.
Yes.
So, what does this little girl, kind of see?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Amit lived in the Egyptian underworld near the Scales of Justice.
It seems that Amit has as many nicknames as, like, Apollo Creed.
It does. I feel like she, when you're, the Devourer of the Dead, you kind of need a couple other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Eater of Hearts, though, that's a little violent. But in the Egyptian underworld, in the Hall of Two Truths, Anubis weighed the heart of a person against the feather of Maat, the goddess of truth. If the heart was judged not to be pure, Amit would eat it, and the person was not allowed to pass through the fields of reeds. If the person was judged to be pure, they went into the field of reeds, Christianity's version of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Once Amit ate the heart, the soul was believed to become restless forever, and this was called to die a second time.
It's like limbo.
Limbo, I almost kind of took it more hell, whether it be like a Dante's Inferno with the different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But I very took it as a heaven hell, kind of gotcha. Analog again, okay. Putting it in Christian terms. What I found really interesting was in the Egyptian, religion and mythology, it was not Amit who judged the souls. Like Arthur is judging souls in the show. He has the scales. He is her avatar judging.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of a change, with that. Tim, this next part was the one where I was like, all right, Marvel, you got me with your details. So when Arthur confronts Steven in the museum, he's walking by pillars and hieroglyphs.
Mm-hmm.
And he does so near the Amit hieroglyph. She is portrayed as having the head of a crocodile, the body half lion, half hippopotamus. And it's as Arthur's telling her tale, he says she was betrayed by her avatars. And he does so, he touches the hieroglyph, and you can see it's damaged. And the damage is where the heart of Amit would have been.
I actually didn't even catch that symbolism of the damage, but I'm like, I didn't correlate that to where her heart would be. So that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That I was like, all right, Marvel, now I'm in. Yes. Interesting. And this kind of goes through, which makes it a little bit more interesting and some changes, obviously, that, Marvel has made and we're used to. Amit was never worshipped by Egyptians. Mm-hmm. Was not actually strictly a goddess. She was instead basically the embodiment of everything that they feared. Christianity, Satan. Mm-hmm. And a reminder to live by the principles of Maat so that they could go to the field of reeds. Interesting. Arthur is her avatar, talks about her previous avatars, which again would be people devoted to worship her. We see all throughout this people who are worshiping her. So a bit of a different twist. I'm sure we'll see how some of that kind of plays in.
And it's interesting in here, John, where you mentioned this relationship in mythology between Amit and Anubis. And what we saw at the end of the episode was Stephen being chased by presumably a jackal of Anubis. Because Anubis is in the form of a jackal, and traditionally his, you know, minions were jackals. And this is then also what Mark/Moon Knight ends up fighting in that last scene in the bathroom.
Which
I also thought, by the way, was absolutely hilarious that this jackal is, you know, literally knocks the door down to get into the bathroom to kill Steven. And then like 5 seconds later, you see a shot of the jackal trying to get out of the bathroom because he's getting the living snot kicked out of him. And then gets dragged back in and you know, totally wrecked by Moon Knight. I just thought that one scene was absolutely hilarious.
And it was such a cool scene too. I don't know. Like John, I'm a big fan. Like I've always loved Egyptian history. I took a little bit of it in university too, but I thought it was, I'm loving all of this, like extra. I like that they're doing justice to the gods as well. Like they're not just, you know, it's not just a plot device and being somebody who just understanding that there can be a lot of appropriation of cultures in a lot of shows for Egypt, or it's just like, hey, look, it's Egypt. It's cool and exotic and different. They have these things. It doesn't feel like Marvel is doing that in this. And I feel like they always do things with respect, which I absolutely love. And I love the fact that we have an Egyptian director who can also kind of be like, hey, you know, this is maybe not what will go on, and can kind of give his two cents too. So I'm really, really appreciating how they're doing this.
Yeah.
So I want to speed round through a couple of these because I want to give it some time for some speculation. We obviously have Khonshu, we know a little bit more about him. The look portrayed from all intents and purposes, from what I've heard, is very comic books accurate.
Yeah, like the giant bird skull kind of thing.
We had the Ennard, the supergroup of Egyptian gods. I'm going to actually save that one for a character profile.
Cool.
Because one, timing to the amount in there, because they are within Marvel Comics as well. But interesting, Khonshu and Amit were not part of this supergroup. Some music and cinematography. We know Marvel has been fantastic in their history with music. The show starts off with Bob Dylan's Every Grain of Sand. By title, very appropriate. It is also one of Bob Dylan's most spiritual songs that he wrote. And I saw a matchup, and folks can Google it, of kind of the scenes with the lyrics in it. You could probably, it's in the closed captioning as well, if you go back and watch it. Interesting connections with what's happening and the lyrics and the songs as it's going on. We see a lot of mirror imagery used to showcase Mark and Steven. And again, we talked about their dissociative identity disorder. You know, two kind of examples of when, you know, Steven first walks into the museum, there's sort of the reflection off the water. We also see that with the street performer. We also see several times where three mirrors are used, which then give you the three representations of Steven, Mark, and Khonshu. And again, that's those little details, you know, where we're probably going to see more of that, of those three personalities, the ones that God kind of, you know, talking together.
And I love that they're using that, because one, it's not only great imagery for the different personalities, but it's also a fairly classic, like, horror movie, psychological thriller kind of thing. So I love that they're bringing that in here for it. And because it does kind of freak you out when, you know, someone walks past a mirror and that mirror image is keeping pace. And then all of a sudden the mirror image changes. You know, you're like, oh shit, you know, and things are happening, you know.
They do it really quickly sometimes where you're like,
yes,
you're like, wait a second, that thing didn't move. Or the reflection didn't move. They're just staying there. And like that, it's like a little creep factor.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, did I see that? Did I not? No. And not until at least the end when you're like, no, yep, it's a completely different person. Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm going with the music. I also like that they had a little bit of like the Egyptian influence in some of the music. Some of the songs, I was like, hey, I've heard that mixed with something else in the past. And they're mixing it again with a different song. So I thought that was kind of cool. This little nod. Cool.
A couple quick Easter eggs within the episode. There is an Atlantis shop in London. A nice little potential nod to Namor. Steven's boss, Donna, is named after Donna Kraft, who is Mark's publicist at Spectre Corp in the comics. The street performer is a nod to the character Bertrand Crawley, a homeless man who is an informant for Mark. So he's a street performer.
Yeah, and a pretty significant character in the Moon Knight comics. So, like, it was one of those things, like, as soon as I first saw it, I'm like, because, like, physically, the physical appearance and everything looks just like Crawley. And I'm like, holy crap, that has got to be Crawley. I fully expect that we're going to be revisiting that character. Yeah. And Crawley may even be aware of the different personalities because, as you said, he's an informant for Mark. You know, he's this guy on the street who, you know, people don't pay attention to homeless people. So that in the comics is how he gets away with everything. He can be anywhere and he's just completely disregarded. So he gets to learn a lot of things and he has contacts. So maybe, you know, he and Mark already know each other and he gives information to Mark.
Yeah.
And he and Steven just happen, you know, by sheer happenstance, happen to have this, you know, relationship or whatever connection. So yeah, I expect we're going to see more of that character.
Absolutely. The postcard Steven gets from his air quotes mom are very similar. There's been some matchups to the ones that are sold in the gift shop that he works in. There are a couple Steven's comparisons mom, where they are wandering.
Steven's mom is dead. That is my guess.
No, Steven's mom doesn't exist. Mark's sending the postcards. But that we're not in speculation yet, Tim. and then finally, the Duchamp on Mark's phone is Jean-Paul Duchamp, a French Foreign Legion soldier who is a often sidekick of Mark's, who is also on the mission when Mark was killed. So we see one missed call from him within there. There's been no one cast as that character in this season that we know of.
Right.
So maybe just a throwaway Easter egg, maybe a season two or beyond character.
That's a character in the comics typically referred to as Frenchie. Frenchie is a huge, huge influence character persona in the comics. you know, Frenchie is fully aware of all the personalities, deals with and interfaces all the personalities. He's a pilot. So through the iterations of the comics, Moon Knight has different aircraft and, you know, so Frenchie is usually the one flying the aircraft. There have been some times where they've been separated and, you know, so still Moon Knight does his own thing. But I'd like to see Frenchie and I was really excited to see Duchamp listed in the phone. So.
All right. Some speculation to kind of wrap this up. Where do we think things are going? Tim, you obviously think Steven's mom is dead.
Yeah, and actually from what the way that you took what I said and kind of turned that upside down, with you thinking that Mark's actually the one sending the postcards, it made me have to reset because Steven, at least in the comics, Steven is not the primary personality. The actual physical person is, in fact, Mark Spector. Steven is a personality that then forms later. So Steven fundamentally wouldn't have a mom. It would be Mark that has a mom. And I mean, in the comics, Mark's mom died. So yeah, maybe there's something here where Mark is trying to almost even protect the Steven personality by like kind of quote, giving him a normal life,
right?
And trying to facilitate that. So yeah, yeah.
Shiva, what is some of your speculation of where we're going to see, especially in the next episodes, kind of see things? Or what do you want to see things happen?
I mean, I would like to see more of Mark and maybe how, I mean, maybe we're not going to get that in the next episode. We might get it a little later on down the road. But I do want to see, you know, Mark and how he fits into all of this. I know one of my friends was like, he would like to see like a later on episode where we see the first episode, but from like Mark's perspective, kind of how he came across or what the things that he did, as opposed to the things that Steven was doing. And I was like, that would actually be kind of cool. I hope Marvel kind of does that at some point, because it would be nice to see, like, because he clearly talks to and seduces the woman at the museum, and we don't know how in the world that happened. Like, we just know that she's like, hey, and Steven is like, hey, like, what is going on? And then how a few days later, he never makes it. So there's all this confusion, and we're just kind of along with Steven going, what? So it'd be kind of nice to see maybe things from the other side, another perspective, and see what was going on at the time.
And it's interesting that like, so clearly Mark shows up at Steven's work.
Right. Yeah.
Which is another thing. So it's like, okay, yeah. So how often is Mark working at the gift shop, and how is Steven not like realizing that he's having blackouts or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and I'd love to see where the one finned fish went, because I feel so bad. Like, where did the poor thing go? Why did they get rid of him? Why couldn't he just be there? Why did they have to? I'm clearly very attached to this fish.
Shiva, I think Fishy
died. I know.
It's like Steven's mom. I think Fishy died.
Yeah. I know. I think you're probably right. And then they had to get a new fish just to replace the dead one. But still, I wish that they gave him at least a little funeral. Or gave the fish a little funeral or something. Because I got really attached to that poor thing.
I think, what was the fish's name? Gus?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Gus was buried at sea.
Yeah. That's a nice honorable burial.
Yeah, with a proper flush.
Yeah,
like many goldfish are.
Yep.
I thought it was funny that Gus 2.0 was brought to the store in a blender.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we're going to see a little bit more of Mark. We talked about it earlier. I do want to kind of see that, for lack of a better term, sit down between Mark and Steven with it. I'm okay within the next episode seeing about the same level of Moon Knight as we saw in this one, with just kind of like him there and, you know, bits and pieces for right now. You know, I'm okay with, I wouldn't say, you know, once we get to episode 3 and 4, yeah, I want a good amount of Moon Knight, but I think in this, as they're both figuring it out, those little, you know, kind of glimpses. I'd also be okay with this episode was very Steven focused. I think it would be a great mind trip to make episode 2 a day in the life of Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's then like Steven interceding from time to time.
Yeah.
I think almost actually repeat the whole episode, but from Mark's perspective, I think would be Tim, when you get to the psychological thriller, that would be a really good mind. I won't make you edit, but everyone can figure out the second word to that.
Yeah.
Mind confusion.
That's sure. It's, you know, it's, and the thing is, it's not a bad idea because they can basically retell the things in the episode. I mean, it doesn't have to be this analogous one-to-one thing. Fundamentally retell it in 6 minutes. Just kind of giving, you know, here's the snapshots of Mark's perspective on certain things or certain things that Mark did. And then, you know, and still be able to then have plenty of time to further the storyline.
I would maybe about half of it, but I mean, it explains a little bit more how Arthur knows Mark, you know, what's going on, you know, with Gus, what, I mean, some of those, and you could have that funny of Mark being in the fish shop being like, no, I need one with one fin. Like, so you could have the humor, the action, the, you know, kind of the suspense aspect of it too.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool to see. But unfortunately, Kevin's already talked to folks and got this, you know, it's already been filmed. So again, Kevin, when you listen to us at the start, to start, my friend, we give you the better things to go with.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. With that, folks, we will be back next weekend for episode 2. Before then, join us over at Guardians for 2 episodes this week, where we will talk about news and I'm sure have a character profile, and I'm sure we will talk a little bit Moon Knight again because we're going to want to get Lizzie's impressions too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Until then, see you next week.